Heard of your name?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if we're really good teachers, he leaves everybody in odd silence.
Boys, are you?
Show the document. Would you open the sword apartly? Brother Doug, would you open sort of prayer?
Father, we thank you for the opportunity to have here to request a minimal business friendship that was over directly family with concern that watch over our sister churches, maybe various things that are going on that you leave with the family of the county attention of also to watch over the health and the caretakers if they provide work with them, just pray your providence upon them. Bless our classes this evening, bless your words and go forward. Continue to be with the ministry, especially the young preachers, and take care of yourself. Give attention to the things that we find in the scriptures. Thank you so much for that. Thank you for your love and your watch care over the safe passage that we've had here. Pray that you continue to bless and be with each church represented here, that you would have neighbors too, to help us to realize the strength and the encouragement that we gave this moment, the communication and coming together in this manner and studying your word. Bless where you see that we stand in need. Continue to watch over those, again, under doctor's care and those with health issues. We pray all this in Jesus' name before his sake.
Amen. Amen. You like the new classroom?
Yeah.
So far. We have a whiteboard for Brother Dale because I can't reach the top. But the church so kindly gave me my soul. I thank Jesus. Rightly dividing. Prophecy. We've said it time and time again. Prophecy is the ultimate in rightly dividing. It's not high school level, it's not college level, it's not postgraduate level, it's not doctoral level, it's post-doctoral level. Flip over to the book of Ezekiel chapter 38. Ezekiel chapter 38. We've got a good set of lumps tonight. For the regular. Would you read verses 1 through 16 for us?
And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, build thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief priests of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against him. And say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. And I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth, and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed in all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer and all his band, the house of Togarma, and of the north quarters, and all his bands, and many people with thee. Be thou prepared, and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. After many days thou shalt be visited in the latter years. Thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword, and is gathered out of many people, against the mountain of Israel, which have been always waste. But it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy bands, and many people with thee. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall also come to pass, that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls, and having neither bars nor gates, to take a spoil and to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations which have gotten cattle and goods, that dwell in the midst of the land, Sheba and Dedan, and all the merchants of Tarshish, with all the young lions thereof, shall say unto thee, art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to take a great spoil? Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto God, thus saith the Lord God, in that day when my people of Israel dwell safely, shalt thou not know it? And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts, thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army. And thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud of my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days, and I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O God, before their eyes.
Thank you very much. When I first started studying Ezekiel 38, it's been 35 years. At that time, if I got 2 to 3 current events in the course of a year that applied to Ezekiel 38, I was excited. In the 3 weeks of April, I've got 8. What's happening? Time speeding up, Lord's fulfilling prophecy. And we're going to see a sign. Brother Austin, hit it. Yes, we'll be watching cartoons. I know what you feel like, Sister Rhonda. Yeah. What's that?
I said maybe.
Maybe. Devices. We got a 75-inch crystal HD TV.
If you can see, it's a waste of money.
That's the sign I was looking for. So, and there was our sign. Yeah, money well spent. Okay. The first news article. The beginning of April, the 4th of April, Israel attacks air bases in central and northern Syria to disarm the Syrian military. But more importantly, according to Israel, to rebuff Turkey. Really wish we could have that map. I was wanting to show you a map of the Middle East so you could clearly see how this is playing out.
Also, they were the 5 minutes before last.
Sure. Deflect blame. That's good.
So says the secretary and expert.
What's that?
So says the secretary and expert of this technology.
Yeah. So Israel is attacking bases in the central and northern part of Syria to rebuff Turkey. Syria has now become a pawn piece in the Middle East. Up until Assad's abdication of the kingdom, Assad was an ally of Iran and Russia. Russia had two bases, the biggest bases that they had in the Mediterranean air base, naval base, was in Syria. When the Syrian government was overthrown, Assad left for Russia. They lost those bases. Iran lost influence. Now Turkey is wanting to come down and exercise influence in Syria. Israel is pushing back and saying, no, don't do this. And Syria is at play. Iran has been pushed back. That was the fourth. Now on the 14th, Saudi Arabia agrees to pay off Syria's World Bank debt, about $15 million. What's important to that? Well, Syria can't get any more loans from the World Bank for capital improvements until they pay their debt off. They don't have the ability to pay the debt off, therefore they can't get any more loans, and they can't improve the conditions in Syria. Saudi Arabia is stepping forward and saying, we will pay that off. And for the first time, Syria is going to be sending a delegation to the World Bank and the United States this spring to negotiate those loans. What's the effect of that? Well, look at verse number 13, Sheba and Dedan, and the merchants of Tarshish and all the young lions thereof shall say unto thee, art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, and to take a great spoil? Sheba and Dedan, Saudi Arabia and the Arab states in the Gulf there. Merchants of Tarshish.
European Union.
Young lions thereof, for the United States, England, Canada, comes in. Interesting enough that with the waning of Russia and Iran, Saudi Arabia and the United States coming in there hard to influence. This very hour, we have two U.S. congressmen in Damascus. At this very moment, negotiating with Syria to help them come our direction. And one of the congressmen said, we don't want Syria going with Russia and Iran anymore. You see the battle play here? Russia's lost its military bases. Iran's being put on its heels. Turkey is influencing and has got power and is wanting to move down and have Syria as a puppet state. Israel wants to have Syria as a puppet state. They both want to have a buffer. Don't be deluded because Turkey is a member of NATO. Having a friend like Turkey, you don't need many enemies. Turkey is playing a hard and fast loose game here, and Syria is becoming the battle area. Meanwhile, also on the 14th, Monday, the Prime Minister of Lebanon visited Syria for the first time since the Assad government to reset, how they put it, to reset relations, because when Assad was president, Lebanon, and Syria were at odds. Remember the kingdom of Persia? Mark could use that map. Persia was Iran, Iraq, Syria, and Lebanon. Now, in the 1990s, Iraq and Iran was at war with each other. But because of the United States, after 9/11, we attacked and overthrew Saddam Hussein. And we were convinced that if we gave them democracy, they'd vote for us. And we gave them democracy, and they voted for Iran. Why? Because they're Shiite Muslims. Saddam Hussein was a Sunni who pushed down the Shiite majority. And when you gave them the right to vote, they voted for a Shiite politician. And the Shiite politicians, most of the Arab world is Sunni. There's only a slight few that are Shiites, primarily Iran and Iraq. So because the United States overthrew Saddam Hussein, now we have Iran and Iraq firmly together. And now we had Syria with Iran. They're broke free and loose, but they're still aligned with the Shiite. But Lebanon is also getting aligned there. Meanwhile, this is a very interesting one that you won't pick up in many of the news articles. How many of you have heard of the tremendous water crisis in Iran? Anybody? One. March 30th news article said, Iran's water crisis is at a tipping point, according to the energy minister of Iran. Iran is at a tipping point, and the existence of the regime's stability is threatened. How many of us would be upset if we couldn't get drinking water?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we all would. The major lake in Iran for drinking water is at 6%. The water is shut off randomly throughout the nation of Iran and is only available for 2 hours a day in many places randomly. So you can turn on the spigot, leave it on, and maybe at 3 o'clock in the morning you hear the water running and you rush in there and start filling up everything you can because it's going to shut off soon and you're not going to have it for another day. And it may turn on at 6 o'clock the next night. The Helmand River that flows into Iraq or Iran comes from Afghanistan. They had an agreement in 1973 with the Afghanis that the Afghanis would not interfere with the flow of that water resource. The Afghans have broke that agreement and have blocked the flow of that water. You wonder why Iran is beginning to talk to the United States about nuclear treaties. They're not doing it out of a position of power. They're doing it out of a position of necessity. Because Israel attacked them, wiped out their air defenses. Their satellite puppets of Hezbollah and Hamas and Houthis are all taking it on the chin. Because Iran doesn't have the power to force their presence because they've got so much trouble at home. Why is this an issue? We'll look at it in a moment. Meanwhile, in the nation of Jordan, on Tuesday of this week, 15th, Jordan says it foiled a Muslim Brotherhood plot to attack the kingdom with rockets and drones. 16 individuals were arrested. They were trained and financed in Lebanon. The Muslim Brotherhood is a Hamas ally. So now you have Jordan putting down the Muslim Brotherhood, which is an ally of Hamas. You see things beginning to go Israel's way. You see the quietness beginning to be pushed against the enemies of Israel. Hezbollah is in Lebanon, north of Israel. When Israel went into Gaza, Hezbollah started launching hundreds and hundreds and thousands of missiles into Israel. They had a larger army than the army of Lebanon. Hezbollah, on Tuesday, said that they are ready to lay down their weapons if Israel withdraws from Lebanon. Israel at this very moment has already withdrawn the vast majority of the troops. Israel at this very moment is only on five hills, five strategic hills in Lebanon. But Hezbollah, for the very first time, said, we're willing to give up our weapons. Why? Because Iran can't feed them. Jordan's not supporting them, never has. So they don't have a friend in Syria any longer. They're hurting. According to the Times of Israel, quote from the Times of Israel, the once unthinkable disarmament of Hezbollah could finally be within reach. As the United States pushes Lebanon to act and applies pressure to the group's backer, Iran, over its nuclear program, analysts said Hezbollah was left badly weakened by more than a year of hostilities with Israel. So you got all the enemies of Israel, Iran, Hamas, Hezbollah, the Houthis. Just tonight, the United States launched a devastating attack against the Houthis. They're about the only player that's existing right now that's being able to do much. And Israel and the United States are thumping them hard. All the enemies of Israel is being put down and silenced. And the United States and Iran are in nuclear talks. Tomorrow, the United States and Iran will be talking again. Question is where? Is it Amman again or is it in Rome? Depending upon who you listen to, they certainly know where's that. The current focus of the talks, interesting, the current focus of the talks is not just Iran stop your nuclear stuff and give it up. The current focus of the talks is de-escalating regional tensions. What does that mean? That means Hamas, Hezbollah, Muslim Brotherhood, de-escalating these tensions. What's another word for that? Peace. Prisoner exchanges and limited agreements to ease sanctions against Iran in exchange for controlling Iran's nuclear program. It's possible that Iran would seek to trade its support for regional allies, including Hezbollah, for concessions and negotiations with the United States. So Iran is getting in a very dire situation between their water, their military. They don't have the ability to keep the front up. And they're willing now to say, we'll give you Hezbollah. But one day Hezbollah earlier this week said, we'll give up our weapons. It's all playing out. Look back at verse number 8. After many days, well, look on back up here. Verse 3. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am with thee, O God. I'm against thee, O God, the chief priests of Meshach and Tubal. That's Moscow and Tbilisk in our modern language. I will turn thee back. Russia's been turned back. Put hooks in thy jaws, and I'll bring thee forth. All thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. It's Persia, that's Iran, Iraq and Syria, Ethiopia, which is Sudan now, Libya, with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer and his band and the house of Togomer at the north quarters and all his bands and many people with thee. So we have Persia, Ethiopia, Libya. Oh, by the way, interesting enough, when Russia was thrown out of Syria and lost its naval base, guess where it put its next naval base? Anyone want to guess? It's mentioned there in verse number 5. Nope, Libya. Put in Libya. But the problem with Libya is it's not a deep seaport like the one in Syria. Syria's at play. Iran had it. Turkey wants it. And Russia's coming down with its allies to reinforce it. After many, be thou prepared, verse 7, and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. After many days thou shalt be visited, in the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword, and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which has been always waste, but is brought forth of the nations, and they shall dwell safely all of them. And thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy bands, and many people with thee. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall come to pass, at that same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. Thou shalt say, I will go to the land of unwalled villages. I'll go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates, to take a spoil. I think what Ezekiel 38 is showing us is that Russia's coming down with their allies into northern Syria, into Syria, and it's going to see Israel at peace. And they're going to see the opportunity that, by the way, Russia needs finances. Russia is hurting. Iran is hurting. They need resources. They need resources. Why did Japan attack the United States in World War II? Did they hate us? No. It was a strategic maneuver because they needed oil reserves, and Franklin Delano Roosevelt embargoed the Japanese. They don't have much in oil. They had vast oil fields in the South Pacific, so they wanted, but to be sure that the United States didn't interfere with that, they took a big punch at us in Pearl Harbor. Unfortunately, they didn't have the, from their point of view, they didn't have the manpower or the ability, tenacious as they were, to win that conflict. Well, Russia's hurting, has been pushed in the corner, being pulled out. So they're going to be coming down, and they're going to be looking at Israel. And then, verse 12, to take a spoil, and to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited. Ah, have you noticed how Israel has been pushing into the isolated areas? And upon the people that are gathered out of the nations, which have gotten cattle and goods that dwell in the midst of the land, Sheba and Dedan, the merchants of Tarshish, and all the young lions thereof shall say unto thee, art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey, to carry away silver and gold, take away cattle and goods, to take a great spoil? Who's resisting Russia and Persia, or Iran and Turkey? It'll be Sheba, Dedan, that's Saudi Arabia, the merchants of Tarshish, that's European Union, and all the young lions thereof.
They come down to Israel, and the merchants of Tarshish and young lions say, oh, no, you don't.
There you go. What are you doing down here? And what's the significance of that? The Lebanese president was voted into office by the support of the United States and Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia just told you on Monday said that they're going to pay for Syria's debt to the World Bank. Boy, I wish I had that map up there. To the north of Israel, Saudi Arabia and the United States has already moved into Lebanon and Syria economically. So when Russia comes down and is pushing further south to Israel, the United States, the European Union, Saudi Arabia is going to be saying, what in the world do you think you're doing? You come to take a spoil? Verse 14, therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto Gog, thus saith Lord God, in that day when my people Israel dwelleth safely, shall thou not know it? What's been Israel's cry the whole time? Peace. There is a old Arab accord, can't remember the date now. It's called the Three No's. Don't recognize Israel, don't negotiate with Israel, and don't allow Israel to exist. But in 1979, Egypt violated that accord and signed the Abraham Covenant, not covenant, but accord, Abraham Accord, and went to peace with Israel. Now, Jordan has silently done it. Saudi Arabia is on the precipice of doing it. But Saudi Arabia said, we won't do it until there's a Palestinian state. Yeah, things are always negotiable. But Israel is moving toward peace. All these players out here are moving toward peace. When Russia comes down, it's going to see Israel is at peace. And they're going to be thinking, this is a no-brainer. We can just roll over top of Israel and get all the resources we want. Well, verse 15, and thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts, thou and many people with thee, all of them riding on horses, a great company and a mighty army. And thou shalt come against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days, and I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me. When I shall be sanctified in thee, O God, before their eyes. What's the whole point of Ezekiel 38? Right there in verse 16. That the heathen may know me. Now, what's the tribulation period about? Time of Jacob's trouble. What's Ezekiel 38 about? About the heathen knowing God. It's right there laid out in front of us if we just want to take a look at it. Prophecy is amazing when you rightly divide. Look at Psalm 64. Or rather, Psalm 69. Prophecy can have an immediate application and a future application. Brother Jared, would you read verse 16 through 24 for
us? Hear thee, O Lord, thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to thy multitude of tender mercy. And hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me to this. Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemy. Thou hast known my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. My adversaries are all before thee. Reproach hath broken my heart. And I am full of heaviness, and I looked for some to take pity, but there was none. Some heard, but I found none. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened that they see not, and make their loins continually ashamed. Pour out thine indignation upon them, and let thy wrathful anger take hold of them.
Thank you. That's the Psalm of David. He's praying to God for assistance and help. He's telling the condition that he's in. He looked for help, couldn't find any help. They gave him gall for meat, vinegar for his thirst, May please let their table become a snare before them. They should be have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened till they see not, and make their loins continually to shake. Pour out thine indignation upon them, and let thy wrathful anger take hold of them. That's David talking about his immediate needs. But did you see a prophecy sitting right in the middle of that? Look at Matthew chapter 27. Brother Jared, would you read that again? Matthew 27, 34.
44?
34.
34. They gave me vinegar to drink mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink.
They gave me vinegar to drink mingled with gall. Exactly what Psalm 69 said. There it was. It's in there for all those centuries. And it really is not just a statement about David, it was a prophecy about Jesus. Prophecy can have an immediate application, it can have a future application. Any questions? I want to impress Brother Dixon because maybe this is a new start. I'm coming in on time.
I'll be taking 30 years.
Just couldn't let it go with a happy thought. Well, let's stand.